The key to the victorious life in Christ is life, divine life, coursing through our spirits, minds, and bodies, and bringing blessing not only to ourselves, but to those around us. This life is given by the Holy Spirit. Jesus referred to this when he spoke of rivers of living water, which would flow from within those who believe on him. When we're born again through faith in Christ, we receive this life. John writes, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Once this life has entered us, it does not come and go. But the expression and release of this life do very much ebb and flow. We have our anointed times and our dry times. We feel the presence of the Spirit powerfully upon us at certain times, and then at other times we feel nothing at all. One of the greatest lessons any Christian can ever learn is how to receive fresh releases of this life when things go dry and the Spirit's power and presence are no longer evident. We discover the answer to our need for fresh anointing in the Old Testament story of Moses and the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. Shortly after they were liberated from Egypt and began their journey through the wilderness, they ran out of water. They complained to Moses, demanding that their leader provide them water. The need was genuine enough, but what they didn't seem to get was that the same God that was able to part the Red Sea and deliver them from the Egyptians would not find it difficult to provide water for them as well. Moses took this need to the Lord in prayer. The situation was becoming desperate. It's important that we see that although God pledges to meet the needs of his children, he has never found it compulsory to satisfy those needs the moment they arise. He seems to feel that it's good for us to do without for a season, that our faith may be tested, and that he may be glorified when he does come through for us in our hour of desperation. God tells Moses to take his rod and go to the rock in Horeb. This rod was nearly always associated with the miracles God wrought through Moses. God is not merely going to show Moses where there's a nice spring or a brook where they can get water. He's planning to do an outright miracle. Rationalists like to try to give natural explanations for the miracles of the Bible. They convert miracles into scientifically plausible phenomena, which, although rare, have no supernatural basis whatsoever. In this case, there is no explanation at all other than God's miraculous power. There is no scientific basis for rocks turning into gushing fountains. God tells Moses to strike the rock, and he promises that water will pour forth from it. Moses does as he's told, and God does what he promised. A people numbering in the millions are amply provided for by the gushing waters pouring forth from this massive rock in the midst of the dry wilderness. Fast forward around 38 years. Many of the original grumblers are dead and a new generation has taken their place. Israel runs into a similar situation, running out of water and complaining to Moses about it. Apparently, murmuring, complaining parents produce murmuring, complaining children. God hasn't changed. He still allows his children to be tested by desperate need. One reality you may find a little disconcerting is that as a child of God through faith in Jesus, you will never outgrow testing. It doesn't matter how much you pray, how many times you've read through the Bible, or how mature you think you may be. You who experienced tests and trials in your 20s will also have them in your 70s. And one of the major tests we often face is the experience of severe need, combined with God's apparent unconcern. Of course, he is concerned, but he'll allow you to go through a season where he seems mighty silent and watches to see your response. In this case, Israel's response was pretty pathetic. They spoke of how well they had it in Egypt and moaned about this evil place they were now in. Moses did as he normally did in such a situation. He fell on his face and sought a word from the Lord. As before, God tells Moses to go to the rock. This is quite a mystery. Moses isn't told any identifying characteristics. He's just told, "Go to the rock," which must have been a pretty large and impressive boulder. But this time, he's not to strike it. He's merely to speak to the rock, and God promises that the waters will again flow. Moses blows it. He loses his temper, calls Israel a bunch of rebels, and strikes the rock rather than talking to it. God graciously gives his people water in spite of their leader's disobedience, but Moses will pay a high price for his offense. He's told that he'll never enter that promised land that he's been looking forward to for nearly 40 years. He'll only get a glimpse of it, but his feet will never touch it. In the New Testament, we read that all these things happened to them as examples and they were written for our admonition. This is not just an interesting story about Israel's unbelief and God's faithfulness. There's a tremendous revelation here that unlocks the mystery of how we can live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that the people of Israel drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The truth is, Israel never needed to worry about water. This mysterious water-gushing rock followed them all around. But this was more than a rock. It served as a symbol of Jesus Christ. Just as Israel's physical need for water was supplied by this rock, so today our spiritual need for living water, the filling of the Holy Spirit, will always be found in the rock Christ Jesus. But what about this business of striking and speaking to the rock? Does that have any relevance for us? It does indeed. Just as the rock initially gave forth its water through striking, so Jesus was struck for us at the cross. It was, in a sense, done by Moses, as it was the law of God given through Moses that condemned all men as sinners and made the cross a necessity for Jesus if sinful men and women like me and you were to be forgiven and allowed to live in heaven with God forever. Christ is the rock that was struck, not for his own sake, but for ours. The cross of Jesus was a one-time event. There's no need for a second crucifixion. Hebrews tells us we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now that our heavenly rock has been struck, what's left for us? How shall we partake of the living waters that he has promised? As the story of Moses foretold, we must learn to speak to our rock. In speaking to Christ Jesus, the rock of our salvation, we will find abundance of life, and we will flourish spiritually all of our days. Admittedly, talking to a rock seems a bit peculiar. What does one say to a rock? In our case, we come before Jesus Christ, our rock, firstly with a simple request. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, he told her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." This tells us two things. Jesus is God's designated living water distributor, and we're supposed to ask him for these waters. There is no one else on earth who can give you the rich fullness of the Holy Spirit but Jesus Christ. No other religious leader, living today or dead for centuries, can fill you with God's Spirit. No amount of positive thinking, yoga, meditation, or self-help philosophy can do what he can do for you. We need to know two things. First, the gift of God, which is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, who gives that gift? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the exclusive rights. In the Old Testament, God declares, "For my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." Jesus has become unto us that fountain. He declares, "If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Jesus is the rock that follows us. Actually, he lives inside of us, always ready and willing to supply all our spiritual needs. We come to him not to strike him, but to speak to him. We call upon Jesus for the filling of the Holy Spirit. To expect life and anointing on any other basis than asking and believing is to put yourself under the law and bring a curse on yourself rather than a blessing. Some people believe reading the Bible automatically equates to a Spirit-filled life. As valuable as it is for us to read the Bible, it is not Bible reading that fills us. It is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus declares, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me, that you may have life." When we feed on God's Word, which we should do continually, we do it for the purpose of knowing Jesus better and loving and trusting him more. We do not suppose that 5 chapters each day gives us a certain measure of anointing, and that if we read 10 chapters, the anointing will double, or if we really want extra power, we'll read 20 chapters and the anointing will multiply proportionately. No, we read God's Word to feed on Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life to us. As our faith in him grows, the anointing of the Spirit will increase. Nor do we suppose that the filling of the Holy Spirit is God's reward for us living an especially righteous life. Thus, if we have a good day, we can expect a rich anointing, but if we lose our patience in the morning, there will be no anointing for the rest of the day. For sure, God wants us to live holy and godly lives, but the waters of life are always given on the basis of faith, not our own goodness. Our speaking to the rock involves more than request. It involves praise and confession. We praise Jesus for his role as fountain of living waters, bread of life, true vine, and baptizer in the Holy Spirit. All of these titles refer to Jesus' office as the one who bestows a continual supply of divine life to those who are his. All of God's grace gifts are based upon promises, and we have the sure and certain promise by Jesus that those who come to him will never hunger, and those who believe on him will never thirst. He has said, "He that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." One might wonder, why has God made us to need fresh oil? Why the need for continual fillings and refillings? Why not give it to us all at once upon salvation? If Christ should do this for us, we'd go through life independently, never feeling our desperate need for the Savior. But the abiding life is the dependent life. We'll never outgrow our need to come back to the fountain and receive fresh grace, fresh anointing, and fresh power. The same disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of Acts prayed for boldness in Acts 4, and we're told they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. As we confidently approach Jesus on the basis of his promises, praising him daily as the source of divine life in us, we will not be disappointed. Our Savior has a bountiful supply of living waters for all who call upon him. We only need to speak to the rock.